I'm excited to do this lesson on Abraham because it touches on a lot of points of things that we've been studying, maybe outside of here and in some classes. One of the things that I've been doing on Wednesday night is Adam and James and I have been doing a study, a character study. And in that character study, every time we come up with a character that we're going to do, it's basically the same thing that we did in the adult class. But what we're doing is we're putting a timeline together of things that happen in people's timeline, and then studying the family tree and the family history. Well, I really like doing that kind of stuff because it lines up a lot with Abraham. We go back to Abraham quite a bit. And also, I know of a few people that are doing the year-long Bible study readings that, you know, you read so many chapters a day, right? And that means you probably would have just got through Abraham not all that long ago. So that's why I kind of like doing this lesson right now, because, you know, maybe some people are studying this outside, and this is also going along with some of the things that we're studying in some classes. So we basically titled this Lessons Learned from Abraham, and I kind of think about this from almost a business aspect. I do a lot of grants. I write a lot of grants for things for education, and after every one we run, we do a Lessons Learned. You know, what did we learn from this? What did we learn? What can we do better? So I kind of thought of that with this title, with this Lessons Learned, because it really helps us to look at Abraham. Now, I am going to say I am glad that I wasn't somebody that was in the Bible that had all of these things written about me, that because, we really look at Abraham and we like to point out things. I'm not going to do that today. I'm not going to say, oh, Abraham sinned here and he did this and that. Because I really look at Abraham as a man of faith, and what can we be better as Christians going forward? That's what I really like about with the study of Abraham. So let's take a look at Abraham here real quick. Let's look a little bit at his background. A lot of the things that we're going to be covering today, of course, are going to be in Genesis. So we can look at Genesis 11, 10 through 29, but really that is just the family tree. That's just the family tree of Abraham's background. So in order to protect myself of not being able to enunciate everybody's name correctly, I'm not going to read that. But that is his lineage and his background. Of course, we know some of his ancestors go all the way back to Noah, son of Shem. That's where we normally think of with this family line with Shem, because we have Shem and we have his sons, and then it goes all the way down here to Abraham. This is actually what James and I did on Wednesday. If you go back there and look at the board there in the high school class, we did this study all the way through just to kind of get us an idea of where everybody came from. Of course, his father, he had 9 generations from Shem to Abraham. You can kind of see that list. Approximately 397 years. Just a guess, right? Approximately that time frame. So we know his father was Terah, brothers Nahor and Haran. We're going to talk about them just a little bit. We do have Lot and Isaacah, Haran's sons, right? We can kind of see how they're laid out here. We'll talk a little bit more about the nephew, and we also have a niece, Haran's daughter. And of course, we know Abraham's wife, Sarai, or Sarah. Now, in order to save myself from going back and forth by saying Abram and Sarai and then Sarah and Abraham, I'm just always going to say Abraham and Sarah. I was going to try to map out my lesson to where I talked about it all the way until the name changed, but I'm not going to be able to because I'm going to go back and forth. So I'm just going to say Sarah and Abraham to keep that straight. So let's look at where he's from. We talked a little bit about his background. So we know his background, where he came from, his family. So the son of Noah, Shem, and 9 generations down to Abraham. So where is he from? Well, we get that from Genesis 11 and 28. Now, this is just one of the verses that I use to get an idea of where he's from. And here in 11 and 28, it says, "And Haran died before his father Terah." Remember, that would be Abraham's brother. "In his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans." So if we look at that, here is Ur. Ur is where this first line starts, here in Ur. Then he goes up to Haran, not to be confused with his brother's name. Right? There is a lot of points when I was looking through here thinking, man, there's a lot of pieces and things that I wanted to mention. Now, we know that Terah died in Haran, which would have been the name of his son. So just there's a lot of pieces. His father, right? So Haran's father, Terah, died in Haran. Yeah. Right? There's a lot of names and confusing pieces. So I just wanted to show this also. I just wanted to show that this is where Abraham would have traveled. I believe when we did a map study, we talked about the Fertile Crescent and about the area that he would have traveled all the way to the Promised Land. And here in a little bit, we'll talk about that journey and just those pieces. Yet, I'm just still just kind of building the story of Abraham before we kind of look at some of these points. Now, one of the reasons that I really like talking about Abraham is the slide before I showed all the way up to Abraham and a few of his descendants. Now, the reason that I like talking about Abraham is because it goes all the way through Christ, right? So we go all the way down to Jesus through Abraham. And we get that from Matthew, chapter 1 of Matthew, we see his lineage. But I did want to just point out a few things, and just some of the few things that I forget when I go through these studies. I wanted to point this out right here in Genesis 25. Abraham took a wife after the death of Sarah. And that's where you get these people over here. I did a couple studies where I was looking at the family trees and things, and I do believe that when we did it in the class, I forgot to add this because I didn't go to verse 25 yet of our study. We really just look at Isaac and Ishmael, but we forget that there's a whole nother series. But that was after Sarah's death there in Genesis 25. But again, the whole idea of what I like talking about it is really is because Jesus was born out of Abraham's lineage back from Matthew. So that's why I really like talking about Abraham is because we're looking at this lineage. And I do believe in Matthew, that's where it starts. If we look at Matthew 1, it starts with Abraham. And that's why I'm just mentioning this, because we've actually just looked at it all the way from Shem to Abraham and from Abraham to Christ. So actually, you know, there's quite a long lineage. But of course, we have the promise coming to Abraham, and that's where we have a lot of our verses started. So now we know a little bit about Abraham. We know a little bit about his background, where he was from. We know that the promise came through him and his lifeline, and that Jesus came from him. What are some of the points that we can get out of Abraham's life to help us as Christians? So here's some of the things we kind of thought of. Jenna really helped me out with this lesson. Follow God no matter what. Be a man or woman of faith. Trust in God. Believe with all your heart, and God will provide. These are the points that I'd like to talk about this morning. Now, just kind of setting up about Abraham, but I thought it might be best to think of these things, these points, as we go throughout our lesson. So let's look at this first one. Follow God no matter what. So we know that Abraham was given a lot of things that he was to do from God. But one of the things was, is do not let your age deter you. Abraham, still known as Abram at this time, remember about back and forth, was 75 years old when God told him to depart from Haran to go to Canaan. Now, when we were looking at our map, right, that was quite a distance he traveled, not from Ur to Haran, but from Haran down to the Promised Land, which was in Canaan. He was 75 years old at that time. I can't imagine being 75 years old and being asked to go on this journey. I also think a lot about age. It's one of the top things that my students ask. My average age of students is 35 to 40. And normally I have a student that'll come and sit with me and say, oh, well, you know, I'm 35 now and nobody's going to hire me. I'm like, well, 80% of my students are, then that means, you know, there's only about 20% of students under that. But the workforce still needs thousands of employees, so that makes, you know, your age not even a problem. So don't let your age deter you. Because in Genesis 12 and 4, it says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed. One of the points that I wanted to make here, we see that Lot goes with him, and we'll talk about Lot a little later. But remember, Lot's father would have died. His brother. It was Abraham's brother. So Lot would have went with, that would have been his nephew. Now, we read a lot about Lot and his interactions. We'll even read a little bit about that today. But I just wanted to point that out, that he went with him, right, because his father would have passed. Now, they traveled to Canaan, right? So they traveled to the land of Canaan here. And as soon as they get to Canaan, well, I don't know if as soon as they get, I'm not sure how long they spent in Canaan, but there was a famine. Now, I can't imagine being 75 years old and have to travel to this type of country. Now, this is a picture of Canaan. I just kind of got some of the ruins just so we can kind of look what this area looks like. I also tried to pull up weather maps and see what the average weather was. Can be imagine being 75 and having to go through, you know, some harsh conditions. The average weather in the summer is about 95 to 98 degrees. That's pretty warm. But for the most part, it seems like the weather was a lot like in Ohio, maybe a little drier. But being 75, traveling to the land of Canaan, and there being a famine, of course, we know what we did after that, he actually went and traveled to Egypt. Now, Egypt's terrain is a little bit different. Right? Still having to travel through this area. I have the pyramids here, which I believe the pyramids would have been built during this time frame. Yeah. So we know that he did what God asked him to do, asked him to travel. So not only was he 75 when he was going through all this, but Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Sarah was older than Abraham here. So we know that she was barren, because in Genesis 11 and 30 it says, "Now Sarah was childless because she was not able to conceive." But she was well past her childbearing years, right? Genesis 18 and 11. Now, Abraham and Sarah were told, well advanced in her age, that Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. However, God had a plan for them to have a son. Of course, we know the son as Isaac. Also, we're to follow God no matter what. And it's to not let our family or our spiritual background deter us from following God. We know that Abraham followed God even though it was a little different, I didn't realize how small of a text I was, from his family. So let's look here in Genesis 12, 1 through 5. I'd like to read that real quick. So, "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, 'Get out of our country, from your family, and let your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in all of your families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abraham departed from the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed Haran. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot's brother, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan." So we know that his fathers actually worshipped idols. So one of the points that we're making here is follow God no matter what. Follow God no matter what your ancestors or your parents studied. It's important to follow God. Also, there were some issues that arose between Abraham and Lot, and they decided to separate. So in Genesis 13, 6 through 11, it says, "Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land." Continuing on, "So Abraham said to Lot, 'Please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. It is not the whole land before you. Please separate from me. If you take the left, I will take the right, or I will go to the right, and then I will go to the left.' Then Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zorah. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east and separate from the other. So we know that there were some issues that rose between Abraham and Lot. However, Abraham did not let this deter him from following what God wanted him to do. He didn't get mad. He basically let him choose what area he was to go. So also, Abraham's father served other gods, like I'd mentioned before. In Joshua 24 and 2, and Joshua said to all the people, "Thus say the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Noah, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods." So we know that Abraham's family would have served other gods. We know that they would have followed different practices, but Abraham was called to do something different than what they were doing. So this would have been going against him, for him to follow God. Also, Jesus warns us about this same type of situation. In Luke 12:52-53 says, "For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." We know that people will be divided based on God's word. So we are to follow God no matter what. Because we know if Abraham's house would have followed idols, that's not what God would have wanted. So Abraham would have had to went a different way. Also, to be a man or woman of faith. Of course, when I think of Abraham, I think of faith. There are so many chapters and books about the faith of Abraham. I like just to read in Romans 4:16-20 about the faith mentioned about Abraham. "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are in the law, but also to those who are not of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us. It is written, 'I have made you a father of many nations.' In the presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead and to call those things which are not exists as though they did, who contrary to hope and hope believe, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in the faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he without 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver in the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God." So I just wanted to read that verse just to talk about the faith of Abraham. We know that in a lot of verses, it talks about the faith. We know that God gave them a son of Isaac. We know that they had a lot of faith because Abraham traveled whenever God asked him to travel. He did this all out of faith. So with faith, we also should trust in God. So to trust in God, I think we shouldn't try to rush God. Things should be done in his time. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, "He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts. Except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end." So God does everything in his time. We also have in 2 Peter 3:8, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." So we know that things are to be done in God's time. Now, we see this issue that might have happened here with Abraham as maybe taking some matters into his own hands. We see that the promise was made to God. God made to Abraham this promise that all of his descendants would come from him and Sarah. Now, some time had passed and they were not able to have a child, so they kind of took matters into their own hands. And Sarah encouraged Abraham to have a child with Hagar. So let's read that real quick. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, was born him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abraham, "See now the Lord has retained me from bearing children. Please go to my maid, perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her her husband, Abram, to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, so he went to Hagar, and she conceived, and then she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. So, we see this issue that arises. We see that God promises all of the descendants would come from Abraham and Sarah. However, 10 years had passed. They were unable to have children. So they made this decision to have children through Hagar. And of course, the child that they had was Ishmael. And then later, Sarah would have become pregnant and had Isaac, just as God had promised. Now, without getting too deep into this, I'm not sure of the studies that some may have done about Ishmael's descendants and Isaac's descendants. Now, there was 12 tribes actually given to each. Ishmael had tribes, and so did Isaac. But actually, their descendants are still fighting today. Today, their descendants are still fighting. Now, a lot of the pieces that they're still fighting about is who actually received the blessing. There's another religious groups that believe that Ishmael would have received the blessings that Isaac received. Now, this has caused a lot of issues and turmoil. But one of the thoughts I had with this, without getting too deep into the different religious backgrounds between the two and the descendants, where they came from, because that is a very interesting study, and where they would have dwelt, where they came from, and then, you know, who would have attacked who and all those pieces. But I thought of this verse along with that about trusting in God, because God promised them a son, but Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham and they had Ishmael, and it caused this tension between nations. In Genesis 16 and 12, it says, speaking of Ishmael, "He shall be a wild man, his hand shall be against every man, every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." Now, if you look at where these descendants are today, they are gathered right there in the Middle East together, and there are still issues and turmoil between the two of them. Now, we know that this is part of God's will, because it had happened. But I was thinking the trust that we should have in God. I know it was 10 years before they had Isaac after Ishmael. Not between the two. It was 10 years from the promise. That we are not to rush God. That everything is in his time, like the other verses that we had read. Because we know by trying to step in and having us do God's will, this happened, where we have Ishmael's descendants and Isaac's descendants against each other. So we should believe with all of our heart. Because through God, all things are possible. And of course, we know that God keeps his commandments, because God promised everything from Abraham. And we see that all the way through Christ. So in Genesis 12:2-9, it says, "I'll make you a great nation, I'll bless you, and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in all of the families of the earth shall be blessed." I was thinking of this, with all of the points that we have talked about with Abraham, that he may not even have seen a lot of the blessings that were given to him. Now, we know that Christ would have come through his lineage, and that he would have been a great nation, but he would have never seen these things. So his belief and trust in God, I believe, is where we have a lot of the verses that are in support of Abraham's faith. So believe in with all of your heart. Also from Romans 4:13-25 says, "For the promise that he would be in the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Yet again, we have the faith of Abraham is what received this righteousness through these years. Also, I think of that God will provide. We know about the story of Isaac and the lamb to be sacrificed. I know at one point it says a lamb and the other one it says a ram. So we have with Isaac and the lamb to be sacrificed about God providing. So in Genesis 22, 8 through 14, it says, "And Abraham said, my son, God, will provide for him the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. And when they came to a place of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood." I also think about where Isaac would have been at this point. Isaac would have been older, right? Because he would have carried the wood up. So Isaac is older at this point as well. And he seems to be doing what his father said. "And Abram stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But an angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, for me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by the thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. And it is said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." So with that, there are some points, kind of here in closing, about God will provide. God asked Abraham to give his only son through Sarah as a sacrifice. However, we know that God's already provided the perfect sacrifice through the lineage of Abraham, but it was God's son, because God sent his son to be that perfect sacrifice. That God has provided us this perfect sacrifice through Abraham. However, God stopped Abraham from killing Isaac. However, Jesus died for our sins. So in Hebrews 10, 12 through 14, it says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from the time waiting till his eminence are made his foot, enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he was perfect forever, those who are being sacrificed." So in closing, we know that God sent his son to be the perfect sacrifice, because God had provided that through Abraham. Now, I know this study was about Abraham, but I really like to study Abraham to think about Christ, about why he was sent and why he died. We know that he died on the cross for the remission of sins, that he was this perfect sacrifice that God provided. I often think about that with that verse. It just seems to line up a lot with Christ coming to earth and dying for the sins, the same way that, same thing that he was putting Abraham through. So if you would like to become a child of God, because Christ was sent, this perfect sacrifice, to die for the remission of our sins, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.